Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our final shiur in our pre-Chanukah series. I think next week is actually Chanukah. Is that correct? Next week? So next week is Chanukah. So this is our last of the pre-Chanukah. Okay, beautiful. So our topic tonight is the tefillos of an everlasting Chanukah. So I want to talk a little bit. We talked in the first shiur a lot about Judaism and Greek culture. We talked in the second shiur a lot about the nature of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros and Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. And tonight's shiur looks a little bit at the context of the tefillah of Chanukah, but we'll draw from some of the ideas that we've also been developing over the last two shiurim, but you do not have to worry. You need not have attended or remained fully conscious for the last two shiurim, just because I know different people attend the shiur in different modalities of consciousness. So you need not have been fully present in order to follow tonight. The Mirtz Hashem, it will be it'll be a chance for us to learn together beautifully. Okay, so I also, just in terms of attribution, I just want to relay, even though I put these ideas together, they are based and significantly influenced by some of the questions that are raised by one of my rabbeim, Rav Rosenzweig, on the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, which we'll get to soon, as well as a shir that I heard from the 1970s of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein that was given at Yeshiva University when they were in the middle of a Chanukah Chagiga. So apparently they used to have a welcome. Apparently they used to have shir at the Chagiga, and it's a very beautiful shir. So some of those ideas, some of Rabbi Rosenzweig's ideas, and then anything that's wrong, that will attribute to my ideas. I don't have to say that none of the jokes come from those two personalities, because I don't think anyone would think that that would be my source of leitzonos. Okay, that Baruch Hashem, I don't need a Rebbe for. It comes naturally. I have my own Masorah. Okay, people, I was teaching a group of YU students on Sunday morning. I was at Stern College and we were talking about public speaking. So they asked me to speak about public speaking. So they said, how do you come up with so many jokes? So I said to them, you got it wrong. Naturally, I'm just a clown. It's how do I come up with so many serious things to say in between everything? But okay, Baruch Hashem. All right, so here we go. Shabbos, Dav Chof, Aleph, Omer Aleph. And that's actually not exactly the right Maramokom, but we discussed the Gemara before this last week, and now we're up to this Gemara. We've referenced it, but it's a very important analysis that we're going to do together on this Gemara that's going to serve as the foundation for tonight's shiur, that is going to change how we view Chanukah. Up until tonight, you're going to have two eras of your life in the way you relate to Chanukah. It will be your whole life up until tonight, and then it will be from tonight and onward until you forget what I said in the shiur. But for that tkufa, it will completely change how you view the experience of Chanukah and what its purpose is. So here we go, my Chanukah. And this Gemara, perhaps at face value, has a lot to do with why we relate to Chanukah the way we do. We relate to Chanukah, and by the way, we're primed to do this in very similar ways that we relate to all our holidays that commemorate historical events. Relate to Chanukah as basically a commemoration of something that happened a very long time ago. Jews are very into remembering the past. Memories, a very big part of who we are, this is part of it. The Gemara says, my Chanukah. So the Gemara says, what is Chanukah really about? The Gemara had just talked about Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, so it presumes that we have Chanukah. So the Gemara says, my Chanukah. What's Chanukah? Titan Rabbanon, so the rabbis taught us, Bechofei Bekislev, on the 25th day of Kislev, Yomei de Chanukah, these are the days of Chanukah, Timnayin and the Lola Misbid Behom, the Lola Misanam Behom. You're not allowed to have espedim on Chanukah. You're not allowed to have fasts on Chanukah. You have a personal fast on Chanukah. Let's say for some reason, chas v'sholom, somebody has a levaya on Chanukah, so we have to have a more abbreviated type of levaya. We're not allowed to have espedim. So the Gemara says, why is this so? Kishenichnesu yevanim leheichal, Because when the Yevanim entered the Heichal, Timu Kol Ashmanim, they were metame all of the oil shebeheichal, ukeshegavra Malchus Beis Chashmonoi, and when the family of the Chashmonoim came and they were victorious over the Nitzchum, and they were victorious over the Yevanim, Barku, they searched v'lo matzu, and they didn't find elapach echad shel shemen, only one jar of oil, shayamunach bechosmo shel kohen gadol, that had the hashkacha of the OU, v'lo hayabo ela lahadlik yom echad, and it did not, it was only able to light for one day, nasebonei, so there was a miracle, v'liku mimenu shimone yom, and it actually lasted for 8 days. Okay, that's the story. Then the Gemara says, we're going to analyze each of these words. Lishana acheres. Now, lishana acheres, what does that literally mean? Lishana acheres. Another year, right? Really, what we would imagine it would say is like lishana haba, or the next year, right? That's how we generally translate or understand it. The following year, right? They didn't institute the holiday of Hanukkah as it was happening because they didn't know the miracle was happening. Right, so that generation of Jewish children, they didn't get any presents. But by the next year, everybody's good to go. The Game Boys are coming. So Lashana Acheres, Kavon V'Asum Yamim Tovim. So what happened to Hanukkah? They established days of Yom Tov, Behalel Uvehodah, days of praise and days of Hodah. Hodah means thanks, right? A sense of gratitude. Days of praise and days of gratitude, says Rashi. Right, my Hanukkah in source number 2. What is Hanukkah about? Al Eza Nes Kavul. What miracle are we commemorating? So Rashi says in the following Rashi, V'asom Yomim Tovim B'Halal V'Hodah. So what does this mean? That Hanukkah is a day of Yom Tov, Halal, and Hodah. So first of all, Rashi says Lo She'asurin V'Melach. You should know, there's no prohibition of melacha on Hanukkah, right? Why does Rashi have to clarify that? Because the Gemara seems to say it's a day of Yontif, right? So if you think a 3-day Yontif is not easy, right? Imagine an 8-day Yontif. There already we'd probably have some coolers for the showering, right? Everybody, right? So imagine 8 days of Yontif. So says Rashi, Lo shasurim b'melacha. Yes, it has a Yom Tov tone. It's a festive time. The poskim talk about being marbe v'seudos, having a lot of nice Hanukkah parties. We all have nice, many people make Hanukkah parties. But it's not a day of Isra Melacha. Shelo nikvu ela, because these days were koveya, these days were established for what? Ela likros halel, to read halel, that's the liturgical manifestation of Hanukkah. And a second one, vilomar al hanisim behodah, to say the prayer of Al Hanisim in the paragraph of Hodah in the Shmona Esrei, which is where we place the paragraph of Al Hanisim right next to the bracha of Modim, right? That's what Hanukkah is about, according to Rashi. What is missing from this formula? Hadlokas Neros, exactly. Where is Hadlokas Neros? Rashi says, what's Hanukkah? They establish a day of Hanukkah. They establish that you say Hallel. They establish that you say Al Hanisim. You don't want to forget Al Hanisim. And we're done. And there's no Isra Melacha. Rashi omits Hadlokas Neros. So let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam tells us the following. The Rambam in the beginning of Perek Gimel, and we're going to be discussing the Rambam's whole approach to presenting the laws of Hanukkah. The Rambam says, first the Rambam goes through the whole story in the beginning of Perek Gimel, in Bayesheni, when Yavan, and he's much more expansive than the Gemara. The Rambam also gives you some of the historical context of this nes, that the Malchus of Yavan, they made all these gezeros al Yisrael, and they assaulted our religious freedoms. They didn't allow us to study Torah or to observe mitzvos, and they taxed us, and they went into the Heichal, and they did terrible things, and they were enemies, and all of this was terrible. And then we get to Halacha Beis, ukeshegavru Yisrael aloiveihem, the Jewish people arise to battle their enemies, ve'avdum, and we vanquish them, bechof ei, bechodesh Kislev, on the 25th day of Kislev, V'nichnesu leheichal, they go into the heichal, v'lomotsu shem en tar b'mikdash, you can't find a piece of oil, a jar of oil except for one. V'lohay lehalak ele yom echad bilvad, it could only be one day. V'liku mimenu neras amarocha shmona yamim, it lasted for 8 days until they were able to press new shemen tahar. Umipnei zeh, says the Rambam, and because of this, hiskinu chachamim, the rabbis instituted, sheba oso hador, in that generation, sheyiyu shmonas yamim ha'elu, that these 8 days, shetchilasan chafei bekislev, that begin with chafei kislev, yemei simcha, first of all, they're days of rejoicement, they're happy days, right? Sunday, Monday, all the days, happy days. The Hallel, and there are days of Hallel. And what's the next word? Umadlikin bohen esaneros. And they are days that we light the candles. Be'erev apischei, on in the evenings, apischei habatim, b'chol laila v'laila mishmona halelos, aharos legalos anes, on all the entrances to the homes, so that we could publicize the miracle. V'yamim eril nikraim Chanukah. These are the days of Chanukah, and they're Asar and Hesped and Tainis. And that's the Rambam. So everybody points out that what does the Rambam include? So the Rambam's also reading this Gemara, right? The Rambam is a halachic compendium, but it is a halachic work that is rooted in the Gemara. So the Rambam read the same Gemara in Shabbos that Rashi read. And the Rambam says, when the Gemara says that these are days of Yamim Tovim, so that's clearly the Yamei Simcha, and there are days of Hallel and Hodah. So what does the Rambam say Hallel refers to? Hallel. You have to say Hallel. Then what does the Rambam say you do next? What else do you have to do?
Madlikin.
You have to be Madlik in the Neros. Those are the Rambam's two. It seems that that's how he's interpreting Hodah. What happened to, what's missing from the Rambam? Alanisim's missing from the Rambam. Where did the Rambam, what about Alanisim? Rashi said Alanisim's part of the Gemara. So here is something fascinating. Nowhere in Hilchas Chanukah does the Rambam say, you have to say Alanis? No way. Where does the Rambam say that you have to say Alanisim? So look at source number 4 in Hilchos Tfila. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tfila, in Perek Beis, Aloch Yud Gimel, Bechanukah uvepurim, Mosifin behodah, we add in the bracha of Hodah, Alanisim. We add the Tfila of Alanisim. So, Number one, it's fascinating that for the Rambam, Al Hanisim is something that emerges only in the context of the laws of Tefillah. It doesn't show up in the particular laws of Chanukah itself. And number two, the Rambam seems to be interpreting the Gemara as referring to Hallel and Hodah referring to Hadlakas Neros. If you look at source number 5, you will see the text of Al Hanisim. And we know that one of the fascinating aspects of the text of Alanisim is that it sort of manifests some of the tension within Chanukah, which is, what is the primary miracle of Chanukah that we're trying to commemorate, that we're trying to internalize? Is it the miracle of the oil, or is it the miracle of the war, of just a small group of people overcoming a large group of people? So obviously, Hadlakas Neros takes us to the world of the shemen, the world of the oil. Where does Alanisim take us? So if we read the text of Alanisim, we will see. Bimei Matisyahu tells the whole story. Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Uvanav, him and his sons. Kishamdach Malchus Yavan. Yavan stands up. Alamcha Yisrael, on the Jewish people. Lashkicham Torah Sech, try to make us forget the Torah and to forget the Chukei Ritzonecha. And Hashem, what did he do? He empowered us. Ravta es rivam, danta es dinam, nakamta es nikmasam, and he delivered the mighty to the hands of the weak, and the many to the hands of the few, and the impure to the hands of the pure, and the rishayim to the hands of the tzaddikim, and all of these things. And then at the end of Alanisim, v'yachar kein bo v'anecho lidvir beisecha, they cleaned up the heichal, v'tiru es mikdoshecha, and it doesn't even say that a miracle happened at all. It just says, V'hidliku neros, and by the way, they lit the candles b'chatzros konshecha, in the chatzer of your kodesh, in your Beis HaMikdash. It alludes to the miracle of the Neros, but it doesn't even say them explicitly. If I didn't know the story of Hanukkah, I could read Al HaNisim and say, okay, one of the things they did is they lit the menorah. That's a wonderful thing to do, to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash. The Kavush Manasime Hanukkah Elu, Lahodos Ulahalel, for Hodah and Halel, Lishimcha Hagadol. So we seem to have a little bit of a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam in how to relate to Al HaNisim. What do we think about this Al HaNisim tefillah? And the Minchas Meir, which is a source that we've been quoting a little bit over our shiurim, the Minchas Meir analyzes this machlokas in the following way. He says that there are two ways you can view the Al HaNisim tefillah. Al HaNisim, as an addition to our tefillah of Chanukah, can be viewed from two different perspectives. Perspective number one, says the Minchas Meir, is that Al HaNisim was a unique and distinct takana of Chanukah. That Chazal wanted to be sure that even though we add this dramatic miracle of the oil that violated all forms of nature, and that clearly would live in legacy in the Jewish people, and it had a ritual that kind of captured its miraculous nature that would ultimately endure in ritual life, in halakhic life, but they wanted to make sure that part and parcel of the Chanukah message, of the Chanukah experience, was an appreciation for the victory of the war, for the ability of the Jewish people to rise up against the multitudes that surround them and to ultimately vanquish their enemies because they are empowered and ultimately destined to follow the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Al HaNisim emerges as a core experience of Chanukah. It's the text of Chanukah. And so where does that text of Chanukah go? So now they have to figure out, where do we put it? Where do we put that text of Chanukah? So a logical place to put that text of Chanukah is in the Shmona Esrei. Why? Because we have a concept of Me'ein Ma'orah, the notion that all holidays have an insert that is placed within our tefillah that recharacterize the tefillah as being one that is defined by, or certainly encapsulates as well, the themes of the Chag. So we add Yalev Yavo on all the different Yamim Tovim, and we add Al HaNisim on Purim, and so we'll add the Al HaNisim of Chanukah to the Shmona Esrei. But the driver of Al HaNisim is the Chag itself. It's Chanukah itself. It is fundamentally part of the Chanukah celebration. We should stop thinking of the Chanukah celebration exclusively in terms of the Neros. The Neros are part of it. But the Hallel and the Al HaNisim, those are core components of the Chanukah experience. That, suggests the Minchas Meir, is the opinion of Rashi. And that's why Rashi extrapolates the obligation of Al HaNisim from the Gemara that discusses Chanukah itself. And it remains a uniquely Chanukah Dikah experience. Where is it placed? It's placed at Shmona Esrei, because that's the pattern that we follow. But it's unique to Chanukah. Says the Minchas Meir, the Rambam views it differently. The Rambam believes that the mitzvah of Al HaNisim is not unique to Chanukah. That Al HaNisim is actually driven not by the Chanukah experience itself. The Chanukah experience itself is about Hallel, and it's about Hadlokas Neros. It's about lighting the candles, commemorating that miracle, connecting to the supernatural intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and praising God, emoting that sense of connection in a very significant way, in a very overt way. That's the experience of Hallel. Al HaNisim is not a core Chanukah component, but rather Al HaNisim is simply driven by the normative changes that we make to our tefillos whenever we have a holiday, that part of the holiday experience has to be that it doesn't just live in the realm of the ritual, it doesn't just live in the realm of the experiential, it also lives in the realm of the liturgical. That tefillah has to have within it a mention of Al HaNisim. And therefore, it's part of tefillah. That is why the Rambam does not mention Al HaNisim in the laws of Hanukkah. He mentions it in the laws of Tefillah. So again, we have Rashi, who believes that Al-Hanisim, the Al-Hanisim Tefillah, is really driven by a additional dimension of Hanukkah itself. And then we have the Rambam that seems to marginalize Al-Hanisim as not really part of the core Hanukkah celebration, required, but not driven by the core Hanukkah celebration. It's off over there in Hilchas Tefillah. It's for the Gabbai to mention. It's for the, you know, it's for the Siddur insertion. It's not part and parcel. You know, like when you go to Seasons now and you see the Hanukkah display and you see all the candles and all the, you know, those chocolates, you know, the titanium wrapped chocolates with the little anthrax flavored powder on the inside. And the Hanukkah Gelt Yashan, I don't know if we're very machpid, you know, only old, you know what I mean? Like, so you see all the different displays, the dreidels just to get the gambling going, the, you know, all the different components of Hanukkah, and then you'll have sent to your house by the Tel Yeshiva your yearly box of candles, and you'll have your, right? But you don't see a major display of Al HaNisim, right? You don't see, like, there isn't a huge Al HaNisim, right? You know, today they make something out of everything, right? You know, like you even buy, you know, mats for a Korim for Yontif, right? So, you know, they give out sermon pillows now. So there's lots of things you could buy. We've learned to merchandise lots of different, don't get any ideas, right? lots of different things that we can bring to the floor. But Al-Hanisim, it's part of, maybe you have a poster, but it's, for the most part, it's in the Siddur. It's something you have to remember to say in the Siddur. And on Hanukkah, you have to remember, it's Al-Hanisim. There's a klap, it's Al-Hanisim. That's the world of the Rambam. So what I'd like to talk about tonight, a little bit, is this view of the Rambam, a deeper understanding of what this means, from a hashkafic standpoint, from a philosophical standpoint, from a Hanukkah messaging standpoint. What does it mean that Hanukkah is about the Neros, and it's about the Hallel, and somehow Al-Hanisim's like off over there? What would have been the big deal if the Rambam would have incorporated all of this together? Right? What would have been the big deal? You know, the Rambam, he not only interprets the Gemara through the halachic conclusions that he arrives at, which he does not share with us, what his thought process was, which was one of the greatest criticisms of the Rambam. He doesn't quote any of his sources. He just tells you the bottom line. And they say that he was working on another work to bring out these sources. It was left to others to quote the sources. And it's left to thousands of years of yeshivas to figure out what the Rambam meant and how he got there and what the Hakira is and how to understand it. But the Rambam doesn't tell us how he arrived at his conclusions. But one thing we know is that those conclusions are not only manifest in what in substance he conveys about the interpretations of the Gemara, but they are also manifest in how he classifies all of the different halachos. Because remember, the Gemara is not written topically. It's written, you know, somewhat metatopically. You know, you have Maseches Megillah, and you have Maseches Shabbos, but there are plenty of sugyos about Shabbos that are in Psachim, and there are plenty of sugyos of Psachim that are in Menachos. It's not organized by topic. The Rambam reorganized all of Torah Shebaal Peh into topics. So when the Rambam chooses to put a halacha in one topic and not in another topic, that's not simply the Rambam saying, you know, maybe it goes there, maybe it goes there. That's an intentional classifying move that is intended to convey something significant. Sometimes it's intended to convey something significant about the nature of the halacha itself. That the halacha isn't by its nature one context, it's really another. Here, I think it's important for us to try to understand this. Why would the Rambam expel Al-Hanisim from the laws of Hanukkah? Right? Imagine you go to the store and you want to buy a book on the halachos of Hanukkah, and you go through and it has all the different halachos that you have to know, and there's nothing in the book about Al-Hanisim. You call up the author, how come you didn't include the laws of Al-Hanisim? He says, what do you mean? I wrote a book on Siddur, and that has Al-Hanisim. You're like, what are you playing on? It's Hanukkah. It's part of Hanukkah. That's what's troubling us. So in order to answer this question, so I want to share with you, I mentioned before, some points that Rabbi Rosenzweig raised And I want to share them with you. We're not going to read all of these Rambams, but I want to show you something absolutely extraordinary about the Rambam's structure of the laws of Hanukkah. If you've never seen this before, it's going to really surprise you. So you have in front of you in source number 4, basically, with a few exceptions, almost the entire third perek of Hilchas Hanukkah. The third perek begins in Halacha Aleph with this story. It goes to Halacha Beis, in source number 4, it goes to Halacha Beis, beyond the story, into the question of the Nes itself. What was the Nes itself? What was the miracle? Then in Halacha Gimel, it says that hiskinu chachamim sheba osodor, that we have to light for 8 days, starting on Chafei Kislev, and we have to have Chanukah. Okay. On Halacha 4, and Halacha Dalin, kol shechayev b'kriyas megillah chayev b'hadlokas ner Chanukah. Now the Rambam gets in to the halachos of Neros Chanukah, which is what we'd expect. You explain the story, you explain the holiday, and now you're going to get into the practical details of the ritual of Chanukah, which is Hadlokas Neros, says the Rambam. So I'm on the last line of that first paragraph. So, Chai Hadlokas Neros, Hamadlik oso belaila rishon, if you're lighting on the first night, you make 3 brachos. What brachos? The Rambam tells you, Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, and now in the second paragraph, She'osa Nisim Lavoseinu, Shechayonu V'kiyamanu. Then the Rambam talks about the Birchas HaRoeh, V'chol HaRoeh Osof. You see somebody else's Neros Chanukah, you make 2 brachos, She'osa Nisim Lavoseinu and Shechayonu. The rest of the nights, you only make 2 brachos, and the person who sees it only makes 1 bracha. Now, we encounter Halacha Hey. What is Halacha Hey? B'chol Yom V'yom Mishmone HaYomim Elu, Gomrim es hahalil. All of these nights, all of these days of Hanukkah, we recite full hallel. Now jump ahead for a second to the next page, where the beginning of Perek Revi, the beginning of the 4th chapter. How does it start? Kama neros hu madlik b'Chanukah. How many candles do you light on Hanukkah? Now come back to where we were. The Rambam interrupts his discussion of Hadlokas Neros. He's discussing all the laws of Hadlokas Neros. And he'll pick them up again in the beginning of the 4th chapter. In between, from Halacha Hey to the end of the 3rd chapter, he discusses the laws of Hallel. Not only does he discuss the laws of Hallel, so Halacha Hey is all about you have to say Hallel for 8 days, you have to say whole Hallel, and then, that's Halacha Hey, look at Halacha Vav. V'lo Hallel shel Chanukah bilvad, not just the Hallel of Chanukah, hu shemidivrei sofrim, ela kriyas ha'alel le'ola midivrei sofrim, b'chol hayom shegomim b'shna ha'ala. Then the Rambam goes into a whole discussion of the halachos of Hallel for the entire year. And guess what? The Rambam's codification of the laws of Hallel are not found in Hilchas Yantif, are not found in Hilchas Tefillah, are not found in the Halakos of Pesach or one of the days that we say. They are found right here in the laws of Hanukkah. They're not found in the context of a biblical holiday. They are found in the context of a rabbinic holiday. So not only does the Rambam interrupt the momentum of the laws of lighting candles to digress into the laws of Hallel, of Hanukkah, which itself is highly disruptive to his extremely precise classification system, right? It just totally does not belong there. Finish addressing the laws of the Hanukkah candles, and then introduce the liturgical components and introduce Hallel. Not only does the Rambam disrupt it, but he disrupts it not just with the Hallel of Hanukkah, he disrupts it with the Hallel of the whole year. And he stops talking about lighting Neros, talks about Hallel of Hanukkah, talks about Hallel for the rest of the year. And the question is, why is this so? Why did the Rambam do this? Why did he include Hallel in the laws of lighting candles? Why does he disrupt Hanukkah in this way? So what I want to share with you is the following. Source number 5 comes from a talk given by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein that has to do with an aspect of the Greek world that we did not touch on in our first shiur, and that is the Greek attitude to history. So listen, let's look at it a little bit together. The Greek attitude to history on one hand and to the individual on the other also expresses the same conception of structure and orderliness of the world. If you remember, we spoke extensively in our first shiur about how the whole mahus of Yavon, of Greece, is a sense of causality, of structure, of rationalism, of, you know, almost like a fatalistic type of the world can be comprehended, understood, the world is a product of all of this wisdom. Fundamentally, Greek culture does not focus on the historical dimension of existence. Greece is not concerned with history as a reality. Because history as a reality is about time, and it's about where you are in existence relative to the past, relative to the future. Many have written that according to our worldview, which has also influenced Christianity, history is a central vital factor. This finds expression both in two ways: our emphasis on historical roots, which we talk a lot about, Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mamed Har Sinai, and our viewing human existence within a historical framework, with a beginning and an end, which is also very important. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We believe there was a Bereshis. We believe we are somewhere on that continuum. And we believe, very important, that the world is headed somewhere. We do not believe that we are just living out existence and seeing what happens next. We believe that the world is headed somewhere and that we're part of that. And we're drivers of that. And we're a component of that. In the world of the Greeks, there's a much greater emphasis on lawfulness, which finds expression in the world. This law has no beginning and no end. And then Rav Aaron goes on to say, there's nothing new that happens in history, according to the Greeks. It's all just cycles of human existence. It's all just natural progressions of human reality that are just happening again and again and again. There is no objective existential significance to a particular experience in a human being's life. Rather, you are just plugged in to the flow, the ebb and flow, the cycles of events as they occur, all of which could be attributed to external forces and understood if you had enough wisdom. But there is no inherent value to experiences themselves. It's a very fatalistic attitude towards life. Says Rav Aaron, enters the experience of Hanukkah. That one of the main purposes of Hanukkah was to confront this Greek conception of the human experience and of history. And to understand that when things happen in the world, they matter. They matter to the person they happen to, and they matter as they reverberate throughout one's larger life experience. And so therefore, from the perspective of Yahdus, Rav Aaron explains, the mitzvah of Parsumei Nisa, to publicize the miracle of Hanukkah, has two components. One component of the Parsumei Nisa is to publicize the event of the miracle. This event happened in history. We should all know that this event happened in history, that it occurred. However, there's another dimension to Parsumei Nisa of Hanukkah, and that is the way in which this event relates to everything else that happens in history. And that's what Hallel is all about. Hallel is not just saying that we think God is a good guy or a good woman. That God is just, we want to tell you all the wonderful things about God. That's not what Hallel is. It's not just buttering up Hashem. What Hallel is a recognition. And if you look through the prakim of Hallel, you will see they're very universalistic overtones. The prakim of Hallel are about taking a particular experience and appreciating its global universal experience in the larger framework of existence. And so therefore, when we talk about Hanukkah, we're talking about not just celebrating this one miracle of oil. We're talking about an entire paradigm of how we relate to the world, to life experience, to history, that when things happen to the Jewish people, whether to individuals or to the Jewish people nationally, they are meaningful not only in the context within which they happen, but they are meaningful in an enduring, global way. They impact everything. And that is the way we relate to history. That's the way Yahadus relates. And that perhaps is the reason why the Rambam brings in Hallel to disrupt Hadlokas Neiros. You see, Hadlokas Neiros could easily be experienced in a very narrow way. That the Hadlokas Neiros, because remember, the Rambam interprets the Gemara to include these two things, Hallel and Hadlokas Neiros, right? Hadlokas Neiros could just be about remembering that this happened a long time ago. And you know what? There are moments in Judaism where we do that. We remember, this happened to the Jewish people in Persia. This happened to the Jewish people going out of Mitzrayim. This happened to Miriam in the Midbar. Those are recollections of things that happened in the past. And we try to internalize them as part of our identity, as part of our consciousness, as part of our faith. But we don't contemporize them as having historical significance to us in the present day where we are right now. What the Rambam is saying is that embedded within the world of Neiros Chanukah, within the story of the Pach Shemen, within the story of the Jewish people fighting back and ultimately vanquishing their enemies, is a Hallel. And not just the Hallel of Chanukah, all Hallel. Because what Chanukah is trying to teach you is that history is not just about what happens in the moment. History is about all of the reverberating impact and the way in which it is transformative to the individual and to the nation in its outlook on life and its in its relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this, by the way, is why when you look at Chanukah, it's such a unique chag, right? Let's take a look for a second. First of all, every other holiday has its own Masechta in Shas. Chanukah does not. It's been stuck in the middle of Masechta Shabbos. There's no text for Chanukah, right? Purim has the Megillah. Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim has the Haggadah. There's no real text to tell this story, right? We sit around and we tell the story. We have like claymation, you know, videos. Like what? How do you tell the story of Chanukah? There's no text. We don't read a text. We come to shul, we daven mincha, and someone's like, oh, it's Chanukah. We light the candles, we sing Moed Tzur, and we move on. There's no text to Chanukah. Even, by the way, Moed Tzur itself, you should know, when you read through the stanzas, and I challenge you to read them in English, you will discover that most of them have nothing to do with Chanukah. They have to do with Jewish history in every other era. There's one paragraph that talks about Chanukah. The rest of it has nothing to do with Chanukah. What's going on? Why is Chanukah minimized? And the answer is, it's not minimized. It's actually maximized through its minimalization. Why? Because the message of Chanukah, it will be eclipsed if you focus too much on its identity in its own historical context. You have to understand that Chanukah is about influencing all of the other dynamics of history. Chanukah is about when something happens miraculous to the Jewish people or to an individual, it has to shift our mindset. It has to transform us as people. It's not just an event that occurred. It's something that impacts us, that influences us. When we experience the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, when we have a personal Chanukah moment, I won't call it a miracle. Not everybody is zocha to experience an overt and open miracle that they recognize. But all of us have had moments in life where it should have gone this way and it went that way. When that happens, how do we view it? Do we view it like the Greeks? Where we say, no, it's this medication that solved the problem, or it's, you know, this swerve on the highway that solved the problem, or it's this dynamic in the community that solved the problem. Or do we recognize this is a moment of how? Stop in the middle of Hadlaka. Stop and say Hallel. And recognize the universal significance in our life and in our nation in what it means to be part of that experience. And that, by the way, is why the Rambam put Al Hanisim in Hilchos Tefillah. Because what the Rambam is doing is the Rambam is saying, you know where Chanukah's role is in its liturgy? Chanukah's role is in affecting all of Tefillah. We move away from the more particular focus on Chanukah and we recognize that it has a more universal message to the rest of the aspects of our life. And in fact, the focus on Hanukkah, on or itself, on light, is a fascinating one. Because if you think about it for a moment, if you think about it, all of the other moments that we celebrate or commemorate throughout Jewish history, throughout Halacha, right, we generally have a text or a ritual that we listen to or we say, right? There's very few things that we just look at, that we watch, right? Hanukkah is all about light. And when you look at light, there are two dynamics to light, two dimensions to light. One is the light source itself. You look at the candle and you see there's a light being created by the menorah. But what does the menorah also do? It illuminates everything else. It's not just a light in and of itself. It provides perspective and illumination everywhere else. That's the essence of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is live your life where miracles shape how you view the world. In the aftermath of the Six-Day War, that is the greatest example of this. In the aftermath of the Six-Day War, the miraculous salvation of the Jewish people, of Rabin Miyad Me'atim, inspired a revolution of tshuva all over the world. Where did that come from? That came from not just spending time looking at the academic and militaristic, you know, reasons why we won the war and this decision and that decision and this good luck and that good luck. It came from people taking a step back and saying, whoa, if God is in this moment, then God must be in every moment. And that's what it means to say Hallel in the middle of Hadlakas Neiros. We all have moments in our life that are moments of Hadlakas Neiros, moments where we experience the revelation of the closeness of God. And Hanukkah is about being able to capture those moments and allow them to influence us throughout our lives. And just to share with you a couple of examples, just to close, some amazing, I just want to say, because I'm very tight on time, there's a couple of examples, and that is that the Be'er Chaim quotes the Shemi Shmuel. The Shemi Shmuel says that, you know, Rashi points out that there's no Isser Melacha. Right? There's no Isser Melacha. So he says that's a funny way to point out the character of Hanukkah. Why is that so significant? So he says, look at the second paragraph. The Imkain is very creative. Yitzdarchu lasos havdolah b'motzei Hanukkah ben chol l'kodesh. If you had an Isser Melacha on Hanukkah, what would you have to do at the end? What do you have to do at the end? Make havdolah. Says, v'lo rotzu shiyipasku oros hakedusha al yedei birchas havdolah b'motzei yom tov. Says, we do not want to make a division. So in other words, Hanukkah's Isser Melacha is as much about allowing us to do the regular things we do as it is not asking us to retreat into that accentuated space of spirituality from which ultimately you have to reemerge. You can't live your whole life in Shabbos. It doesn't work. That's on Olam Haba, we'll live our whole life on Shabbos. It's a very good nap, right? But normally, we don't live our lives on Shabbos. We have 25 hours of Shabbos, and then we have a band, and we have a good story, and we make Havdalah. And that's it. And we go back into the work. We go back into the world. That's not what Hanukkah is. Hanukkah isn't a termination. Hanukkah isn't a transition. Hanukkah is, this is part of the world. And you know what? It's so true. I'm sure everybody has this experience. The eighth day of Hanukkah, not the eighth night. Eighth night is rocking, right? The eighth day is like a weird feel. Because you know it's still Hanukkah, but we're not lighting tonight. So you're sort of like, is it over? Is it not over? You look at the menorah in the morning and you're like, should I put it away? Right? I don't do that, but others, right? Should I put it away? Well, you know, we're not going to use it again. But But on the other hand, it's still Hanukkah. We should probably leave them up. We should probably leave the menorah out, right? Maybe we shouldn't put it away, right? Where does that come from? Because Hanukkah doesn't have a natural ending. It really doesn't. Like, can you do your Hanukkah party on that last evening, can you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have a natural end, right? Why not? Because it's not supposed to. supposed to go straight in to the next part of our experience. We're supposed to go straight into the world. And I want to tell you, I'll just share with you very quickly, look at the end of the next page. It says, Maisa, this is Rav Biderman quotes this in his Sefer in a footnote, quotes from the Rebbe from Karlin. Kasher b'shana achas amda menorah samach ma'od l'kir. One year he put his menorah very, very close to the wall. The garmo aneros l'hashcher is kol ha'kotel. And the neros blackened the whole kotel, the whole wall. La'achar Chanukah, after Chanukah, bikshu b'nei abayis, they wanted to clean off the wall. But the Rebbe said, macha b'hem, he protested them. Be'igid, and he said, shebir tzono, he would like them to leave it. La'hashir es aroshem shel haneros l'chol ha'shana kula. Don't clear off the wall. Let there be a little bit of schmutz from Chanukah the whole year. Because that's really the message of Chanukah. And that's why Al Anisim is in Hilchus Tefillah. Because you know what Al Anisim is supposed to do about Chanukah? This is what's so amazing. It's not davening supposed to give us Al Anisim. It's Al Anisim supposed to change our davening. It's for this one week, we focus on a particular miracle. But you know what the goal is? The goal is to transform our tefillah in general. So that next week, when this miracle is not part of Shemona Esrei, our modim is a different modim. Because we've anchored ourselves in one miracle with the recognition of its influence and impact and reverberating meaning throughout all other aspects of our life. And this is the world of Chanukah according to the Rambam. This is why the Rambam leaves Chanukah, leaves Al Anisim in Hilchas Tefillah. This is why the Rambam interrupts his Hadlakas Neros with Halil, because the goal of Chanukah is to be able to radiate the meaning of events and life experiences throughout the rest of our lives. And that, I think, is something that we all could focus on over Chanukah when we're trying to find some aspect to think about. To think each night as we're lighting the menorah, think about some of the moments of our lives where we felt that sense of closeness, where we felt that sense of revelation, where we experienced that more overt divine, and whether or not that really became a transformative platform that influenced our overall connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that gave us a halel that we could use all year round, that gave us a modim that we could use all year round, that schmutzed up our wall, that could give us that chizuk all year round. Okay, have a wonderful, wonderful Freilich and Chanukah.